Chillax, a podcast where we listen to this, our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of the Chillax podcast. I hope all of you are doing well. I'm so sorry, man. I didn't do an episode last week. I said that I wanted to do it in Taiwan, but I didn't realize that I really have no time, man. And it's kind of sad, breaking the streak, 1.5 years. The main reason, you know, I didn't really want to break the streak is because I think once I let myself go once, you know, it kind of opened the floodgates a little that I will let myself go a couple more times, miss a couple more episodes. I didn't want to do it. I want to make it regular, weekly. And, you know, you guys always have something to look forward to, right? And unfortunately, I break that promise to myself and to you guys. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, it was really very busy and I wasn't expecting that I was going to be that busy until the end. I mean, the days leading up to the Taiwan trip, it was busy. So, I mean, that's alright because I already know, like, I'm flying to Taiwan. I probably should do some preparations, clear my work. Unfortunately, I think the big problem here is that when I reached there was still more work to be done. I had to do training. Sunday I reached, I didn't really have much things experience. I haven't experienced those things yet, right? Like, I didn't experience much to share anything. Then on Monday, I go to work. I had to run trainings. I had to clear my work. And when I went back home, I had to prepare again for next day because next day I also have training. Then I prepare. And because next day was the last day before I go on leave, I had to clear work too. Then I worked all the way until 7 o'clock and I was working in the Taiwan office. Everybody left already except me. I was like, oh, god damn it, shit. This guy for overseas colleague coming to work all the way so late. But I mean, it's fine. And when I went back, it's really quite late really, and I need to also prepare for the next day because personally I'm quite a stickler, or I'm quite on the ball when it comes to traveling, and I really don't want to miss any flights or whatever. So I was looking up on things like, okay, next week, tomorrow, where should I go, what time, what's the train. What is happening was that I was going to take a high speed rail and meet my friend in Taoyuan, so from Taipei to Taoyuan, and the issue there really was just making sure I'm on time. Like, I think in the past, like I mentioned before, my China trip, I nearly missed the train, and to run for the train like a madman when you're late, that is something I want to avoid, and I have two luggages, so that was never going to happen. I cannot run in that kind of situation with that kind of baggage, right? And so I'm a big worrier, so I have a lot of anxiety. I just keep on checking, making sure everything is alright. And also, I was spending time going to the supermarket, trying to recce and see what are the things I can buy when I go back home, what are the things to try. Also trying out some of their food when I have the time, because all of this food, you know, it's not like I go home, I dabao, that kind, right? So I also spend quite some time going to try their food. So ended up, I don't really have much time. And yeah, that's the situation here. If you are hearing me, maybe my voice is a little different. I don't know, man. The weather there was perfect, was amazing. Maybe the first 2 days, right, I was a bit disappointed. It was as hot as Singapore. And I was like, is this going to be like this? I packed all the long sleeve, long pants, and I saw the weather forecast. It was like, what, highest 24, lowest 18. So I thought it's going to be like an aircon condition kind of temperature, right? But that wasn't the case, man. When I reached there, it was freaking hot like Singapore. And for some reason, it was humid. I thought it wasn't supposed to be humid. I mean, I thought Singapore is the most humid country. And I went there and kind of regretted it. But the good thing was that we were quite lucky. When my friends came on Wednesday, the weather changed. I think it was raining in Taipei, but we went to Kaohsiung, which is at the bottom of the country. And for some reason, the rain kind of affected the weather, and like maybe the cold weather kind of flew to Kaohsiung. And for the next few couple of days, all the way near the end of the trip, right, it was aircon weather, and that was like perfect. Like, yes, I didn't waste an opportunity because I was telling my friend, hey, you guys better bring short pants because this weather, man, if this is going to continue, it's going to be bad. And I was like, ah, shit, I should have brought short pants. Anyway, I was kind of like, okay, great. This aircon weather is perfect. And it really was the best weather ever, man. I think the good the aircon weather is a good sweet spot. I think for those who have experienced like winter snowing and very, very hot weather, you'll realize that as much as you say winter weather is cool and everything you can wear different layers, I gotta tell you, if it's hot, of course you cannot wear extra layer, you have to just cool off and wear little, and when it's cold you can wear more, right? And that shouldn't be an issue. The biggest problem I have is that when it's so cold that it freezes your face, and when you can't even like do a normal, like you can't even bathe. I mean, of course, I think in China when I was working there, people don't bathe because you don't sweat. But I mean, Singaporean, I want to bathe every day lah, and it's just annoying. And when it's cold, it's annoying. It just feels very depressing, I would say. It's like rain like that. And the good sweet spot really is the aircon weather, where you can dress an extra layer, look pretty cool, and at the same time, it's cold enough to not make you sweat. I think that's the biggest thing, right, that we really care about, the sweating part. So overall, the weather was perfect. So what happened was that first 2 days I go there, I work in the Taiwan office. I mean, the Taiwan office is very much similar. I can't really see the difference there. Taiwan colleagues are all right, pretty nice. But I don't really see a difference. Like, they work the same way. Maybe the longer I work there, I will have a nuanced view of how they work. I was kind of expecting I was going to, like, you know, some of them is going to take me out for lunch. And it didn't really happen until they saw that I went for lunch alone and people just split up on their own. So is that, I mean, I'm a low level shrimp, so I'm not expecting people to treat me like a god there. But I thought there would be a chance where they can take me out, and in the end they did. They saw I went out to eat alone, then they feel sad, and then they brought me out. And also I'm a bit too shy to just ask people like, I want to join you guys. I think why, maybe I was just very much informed by my previous kind of workplace situation, right? A lot of times in the past, I tried to fit in, I tried to hang out and eat with people. I never really truly fit in. I think I always felt that I was still an outsider, joining other teams, eating, joining my own team also. And it really has to stem from a situation where they ask you to join them. And in that case, that will really be much better, and it will really build a better rapport than you forcing yourself in. And that was my experience. Maybe I'm just not an extrovert, a master at fitting myself in by being proactive about it, right? I'm more of a reactive person. I find it works better that way. So I was pretty shy, and thank God someone, like one of the colleagues, brought me out and we just had lunch together. Pretty cool. And I think we talk about my itinerary, what we're going to do and everything. I mean, of course we are going club, right? And they were I told them where we're going to go, and they say, ah, you are all those clubs that you have chose, right? That your friend chose, not me. Is all the school students going on? They're all the school students going there. And they say, at your age, I think at our age, I don't think those clubs is suitable, man, because they are so young and they have went there before when they are working. And they say it's just very, very different. And they say you should go for some more mature one, like Marquee, similar to Marquee. Marquee is more mature, right, if I'm not wrong, in Singapore. Yeah. So they have their own version. But in the end, we didn't go. I think my friend really wanted to go for this kind of like, really interested in finding young girls, I guess. And I don't know. I think my friends are kind of wretched. It is what it is. I think they are all single guys. And later I'll talk about my clubbing experience a little. I think the whole flow will really very much be, I'll talk about the day-by-day kind of situation. And this one is going to be a long one to really compensate for the previous one. And so after work for the first 2 days, I hope I'm recording, man, seriously. I'm going to cry if it's not recording. Okay, so first 2 days, work in Taipei. Then third day onwards, we went to Kaohsiung. So Kaohsiung was like a 2 day kind of trip to really see more of the nature, scenery stuff. The thing was, Kaohsiung is, I never been there before. I only been to Taipei only. And you realize how different it is between like metropolitan areas and Kaohsiung, which is further like south, and it's very ulu. And we kind of met so what happened here was, after work, next day I went to meet my friends at the station. Then, you know, the train, right, was surprisingly fast and clean, like, because I took like China high speed rail before, and the Taiwan for high speed rail is not too bad, and you can kind of see you went from go from metropolitan area to like backwaters, kampong area, all the nature scenery, and the nature scenery is pretty cool too. I think Taiwan really have a kind of a, how do I say, character here, like the architecture, right, kind of reminds me of a lot of different countries. It has a Hong Kong, China kind of vibe, run down China billboards and everything. And at the same time, the buildings look like Hong Kong, China buildings. And then at the same time, it also resembles Korea and Japan, like the Korean kind of aesthetic, huge billboards as well, but it's in Chinese instead. And then Japan, the kind of suburban alley, very cool, very chill kind of vibe. But of course, Japan is more clean and I would say not as run down and like the perfect vibe, that kind. But Hong Kong and Taiwan is more of like a bit more rustic, I would say. And it's pretty cool. You see all these influences and I don't know, usually you don't really appreciate architecture in Singapore, right? Everything looks the same. But when you go overseas, you see, wow, this is character. Of course, you look outside character, but let me tell you, living inside is a pain, man. If you have lived before, if you take Airbnb, if you have tried like Hong Kong, China, if you are living in those areas, they are pretty old. They don't renovate and you can hear the walls from left and right. And yeah, it's not fun lah. Okay, so the next thing was, onwards to the Kaohsiung, the differences also. It's not just like architecture. I think what I was trying to say just now earlier, right, was that Ximending is a metropolitan area and Kaohsiung is more of a nature, very, very sparse. I think not a lot of people are there. And you can really see the difference there where, when you go to Ximending or Taipei, right, there's so many people. Then all of a sudden, Kaohsiung is just the MRT, right? It's haunted, man. It's freaking haunted. Like, there's nobody in the MRT. And maybe because we are there during the weekday, and then we are at non-working hours. Because the MRT is so big, so huge, right? So what my friend told me was that the MRT, they built extra huge and extra long lines, right? Just so that in the future, if the population increases, right, they can add more cabins. So it never gets too packed like Singapore, because there's space, mah, right? And it's so big, right, that when there's nobody there, it's just one station, one guy there, and it's just a bunch of dudes, Singaporean dudes, right, in the empty MRT, you know. Is this working? Is this operational? And it is. And it's kind of scary. But the fact that they are building an MRT in a place where the population is not as high as in the metropolitan areas, it kind of drives home the point that the government is really committed to public transport. It's nice to see that. I mean, you don't really see that in other countries, right? It's like a newfound appreciation. And, you know, anybody would think like, you would expect the government not to build a station since nobody is using it. I think we met one of our friends, Taiwanese friends, and her parents were from Malaysia, and she talked about her time going to Malaysia during Chinese New Year, and she said that there was nothing to do there because, you know, everything, you had to take car, there's no internet connection, there's no public transport, unlike Taiwan. And, you know, it really drives home the point, like, just based on what she said, my overseas experience going to Vietnam and Malaysia, it's not even a walkable city if you think about it. Like, there's very little public transport. I don't think Vietnam has public transport, I can't think about it. Hey, it doesn't have it then. Does it have it? When I went to Ho Chi Minh, there wasn't, man. Jeez, I just realized that. Okay. And then you have like Taiwan and Singapore, which is very well connected, walkable, and didn't really appreciate it, you know. The government just went out of the way just to build an MRT station in the middle of nowhere. It's like LRT, like, you know. You have like those LRT where it brings you to this station and the map put there, right, is all green color because they are still building BTO. They haven't even started building it yet. And it's just you can potentially get killed there and nobody will know, man. And there's nobody manning it some more because it's LRT. So that was very interesting. So, I mean, of course, as much as I say Taiwan is well connected and everything, I've seen some areas that is not workable. I think particularly in less populated area. And what happened was, you know, we were supposed to go back on Thursday, and then our flight got delayed till Friday. So we had to get a hotel near the airport, and the hotel was in a very ulu place. And that was the first time I experienced like ulu Taiwan, where, I mean, in Taiwan, right, it's like Japan like that. Convenience store is literally everywhere, but it was nowhere near the hotel. We had to walk quite a fair bit. And that was like the rare moment where like, oh shit, when we go from the MRT, okay, there was an MRT station, that was good. But walking to the hotel was like, there's no pavement whatsoever, no car was just driving by. It's like you are trying to pull a luggage past a crunchy industrial area. And even crunchy industrial area, they still have pavement, right? To some extent. Here, no pavement at all. Then you see those giant trucks going by, wow, damn scary. Yeah, so that was pretty ulu. And also a useful tip to avoid this thing from happening, well, to prevent what happened to me and, you know, not to let it happen to you, is that the person who booked the Scoot flight, right, if you are getting budget, you should always check. I mean, even if you don't get budget, right, the person who is booking it and paying for it should always check their email regularly. What happened was that my friend booked it, but he don't check his email one. So what happened was Scoot 1 month ago said that they will delay the flight and they already sent an email, but he didn't see it. Then what happened was that, right, we traveled all the way to the airport ready to check out, go back home ready. Then we see, shit, our flight is not there, man. Then we had to go and get a hotel. And I'm not quite sure even I can claim or not, because the insurance say if the responsibility is your friend, right, cocking up, right, then they say they are not going to pay for it. Then I'm like, oh shit, man. But I'm still going to try lah. And we will see how it goes. Because at the end of the day, even if they send us earlier, we still had to incur costs for changing the Airbnb, right? So that is a huge issue for us in this case. And that is like money loss. Anyway, remember to, you know, check your Scoot regularly. Like, check your email regularly. Next, the main highlight of the trip. That was the most important part, right? I think these first 2 days at Kaohsiung, the main highlight was the beef noodles. We went to this beef noodle place called Gang Yuan. It has the best soup ever I've ever tasted. Before that, I tried like the Michelin star beef noodles. Oh my god. Oh my god, are you guys hearing that? Is it some sort of like funeral sound? I'm so sorry, man, if it's coming true. I've been trying to fix the microphone to make it like, how do I say, pick up only very specific spot. But I can't really help that. And I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to keep talking through it. And I hope that it is not too disturbing. Okay, so what I was trying to say, right, is that, okay, let me just drink one sip of water. Because since it's annoying, right, since the sound is playing. So what happened here is that, right, on my first 2 days in Taiwan where I was working, I went to the Michelin star, or Michelin Big Gourmet, the beef noodles, and they opened a store in Singapore recently, so I tried that. That one was pretty nice. I think the beef was really melt in your mouth kind, but the soup was alright, wasn't magical. And we went to this restaurant at Kaohsiung called Gang Yuan, where the soup was amazing, man. And it was, I would say that a lot of the beef noodles in Taiwan taste very similar. It's just the difference in terms of the beef and maybe noodles and soup to some extent, but oftentimes the hotness, the spice, really just kind of, the chili kind of masks the soup's flavor. And this one didn't have the kind of spice. Their original popular noodles are like not spicy at all. And the soup was like awesome, man. It has a deep, rich umami flavor. The noodles, the beef was kind of alright. Nothing to really, you know, shout about. But the soup, wow, god damn it, that was probably the best soup ever. And you can kind of realize, I think for someone like me who eats a lot of ramen, wow, you drink this, right, it wasn't as thick as ramen, but at the same time it has so much flavor like a ramen soup, which was awesome. Yeah, so that one was a good one. Then after the, I mean, then for the, besides the food, we went to the nearby island to sightsee. So we rented the electrical trishaw. That was freaking fun, man. So there was this nearby island called, I think, Cixing Island, I think. So we went there, and the island was big, but not big to to like not crazy big. So you can actually rent a bicycle or an electrical trishaw, like a go-kart with four seats attached, to drive around and see the sight, see the sceneries. And what happened was that we rent 3 hours. And I think we kind of like thinking like, hey, is 3 hours enough? We wanted to rent even more. And it was true. It was really, what happened was that we blew past the 3 hours, and we returned it so late that all the stores were closed already. And the streets got no more tourists driving the trishaw. So what happened was that we took the trishaw. Okay, the trishaw was very fun. Then we just, it can I think go up to like 10 kilometers, even lesser. Then we just drive around, then everybody take turns driving recklessly, like some sort of Fast and Furious movie. Then we visited like different areas, take pictures and everything. And we just drive until like the night. Go from, okay, so the nights in Taiwan, right, turn dark very, very, very fast. So around 6 plus, right, they already turn very dark already. So 6 plus 7, wow, dark. And we can't, and we got lost, man, because we tried to return it. Then we don't recognize the island anymore, since it's so dark, right? And then we have to navigate, then we have to keep asking people, hey, where do you go here, where do you go here? And usually we are using like, oh, we are just asking them where's the convenience store, because there's only one convenience store on the island. So we just keep driving. Then we even go to very narrow alleys and almost got stuck there, because the some of the community areas, like the alleys, are pretty tight. Then we eventually went back, which was nice. I think they charged us an additional 1 to 2k more, which was alright. I think we were so scared that we drive so much. I think my trishaw suddenly decelerated. The speed was getting slower and slower. And then we thought like, oh shit, fuck, if the battery run out, we GG really, man. We die really. We cannot go back. We had to call the person to come and pick us up. And everybody, even the owner of the store, like all the owners of these stores, because they have multiple stores that sell the same thing, right? That rent the trishaw. They go back already, you know. Except this guy. This guy had to wait for us to return. And he was nice, he never overcharged us for the extra time that we took. Yeah. In the end, I think after we returned the trishaw, we went to have seafood. I mean, since it's an island, I suppose the seafood is not too bad. And yeah, it was very fresh, very local. It's like a 自助 store, I think. But their main specialty is like, it's like seafood. Then we tried that. We had like giant lobsters, mussels, I think, if I'm not wrong. Then we had some fried fish. I gotta say, they like to add pepper salt to everything, and pepper salt, man, is God's gift. It makes all the dishes taste so much tastier instead of regular salt. It's like so nice. Then we had the local seafood there. Then I think we were the last order, so we took so much time. Then I think that's for Kaohsiung, the main highlights. I mean, we were there for 2 days. Nothing much has happened, nothing crazy. I think the ones that are crazy is the Taiwan Taipei stuff, yeah. So after Kaohsiung, we went to Taichung, and Taichung wasn't very notable. So we just went there for about a day. So we visited the night market at this point. The night markets are pretty similar to me. I think I visited a couple of night markets, because in Kaohsiung we also visited night markets, and they always sell the same shit: beef cubes, grilled seafood, fried chicken. Of course, fried chicken is everywhere. Oyster omelette, sometimes here and there they have it. And yeah, and if you think that you're gonna get a lot more savings by going to night market, you are very, very wrong. You might get a better deal, you might live more frugally, or yeah, like paying lesser if you just go to a shop house or nearby store that sells like a bento or just some dishes, right? Like maybe barbecue pork rice, right? That one is cheaper, no? But if you go night market, their night market is very similar to Singapore, wherein the night market food is like, it's similar to Singapore, where the fried chicken chop is gonna be $4, the beef cube is about 4 to 8, then the drinks are about $2. So that is very similar to Singapore prices before the inflation increments. So I think right now, our Pasar Malam has that night market inflation increment already, right? So just your chicken drumstick alone is like $3, like fucking $3, man, for chicken drumsticks. But this is like, the Taiwan prices are like Singapore pre-increment prices, still pretty expensive. You are getting one chicken chop for $4, then you try these, then you try beef cubes, you try other things, then it's gonna add up to like $15 max in this case, right? And you might as well just go to a regular store at a restaurant, right? And you just get a $5 meal, and you're good to go. As for the food, I have to say, I think the beef cubes is fantastic. I think I didn't really get the opportunity to try the beef cubes. I think I went there about 6 years ago or 7 years ago, before the beef cubes was popular and just all over the night market. Right now, it's like everywhere have beef cubes, and that was amazing. I kind of get why people buy that, and you see locals buying that too. Although it's expensive, when you have the beef cubes with the pepper salt, and then it's cooked till medium rare, where it's juicy, chewy to some extent, not so chewy until you can't like bite it, right? It's amazing. Of course, you can't really beat the A5 Wagyu beef. A5 Wagyu beef melt in your mouth is literally the best lah. But this beef cube is a good stand-in, I would say. And speaking about food, I also prioritize trying out all the instant noodles. Oh, by the way, I also need to talk about the fried chicken. The fried chicken, nothing to really talk about lah. I think for me, I really like my food salty. I don't like to mix it with sweet and salty. They really like to make their chicken sweet and salty. And of course, they also use chicken breast most of the time. So I'm not really a fan of that. Yeah. Okay, so about the food, I also tried like all the notable instant noodles. I remember on my last trip, the beef noodles was like the best food to bring back, the instant noodles. It's tasty, you know, yeah, the real beef, the soup was nice. And this time around, I really wanted to try everything. So I tried the hua diao chicken, like the Chinese wine chicken, sesame oil mayo chicken. They also has a zha xiang mian. So, you know, maybe it could be changing preference. I tried all of this and I don't feel that all of these are very nice. Or maybe it's just I prefer Singapore's one. The dish, the instant noodle there was like not that great. So I thought I would bring back a lot of cup noodles, instant noodles. I ended up not bringing any except two instant noodles, like two bowls of it, which is not a lot. I remember last time I brought a lot, and I brought back one interesting one. It's a Singaporean bak kut teh instant noodle. It's pretty surprising when I saw that. I was like at the family mart, and I see, hey, isn't that a Singaporean brand? Because the instant noodle was branded the Asio bak kut teh. I was like, fuck, why is this Singaporean bak kut teh restaurant have an instant noodle in Taiwan, like out of all the places, right? And apparently it's some sort of collaboration or brand deal or whatever it is. But I haven't tried it. So maybe I'm going to try it one day. I brought it back. I brought one box. Like just one bowl. I wanted to try it before I come back. So if it's nice, I buy more. But the itinerary was just way too packed, man. I just didn't have time. We were eating so much that I didn't have the opportunity to. Like, I can't even eat more. No? I can't eat more. Yeah. I'm going to be drinking water quite a fair bit here. I feel that like the weather in town was so good, no? And before I went to Taiwan, I can feel the heat wave really in Singapore. And I thought I was sick, eh? And it was true, people were sick around me. And when I went there, I feel a bit off, like my throat a bit not quite right, like the kind of feeling you're gonna get sick. Then all of a sudden, like I think maybe a few more days later, it was all right already, because I keep on downing orange juice and drinking a lot of water when I was in Taiwan. And right now when I come back there, I don't know whether is it the plane or whether I'm burning out. I traveled so much that I'm like very tired, alright. I come back, I'm resting, and all the illness just hits me. My body was fending it, you know, until I come back. Or it could be the weather. I really feel that it's really the weather, man. Like, I don't feel quite right. I think my body is like acclimatizing to the insanely hot weather. Like, I don't know, my face feels very warm, whole body feels not quite right. So yeah, I think I remember quite a fair bit about this. Okay, anyway, Instead of buying instant noodles back, I brought a lot of snacks and coffee and tea back. Kind of like an adult thing, right? Like, since I work. And I think, you know, I drink a lot of caffeine. It makes sense to buy caffeine back to make my caffeine time enjoyable. Instant noodles, you can't really enjoy it that much. I rather snack and eat coffee and tea. The coffee and tea is pretty good there. I think they are a producer of coffee and tea, so they have a lot of good tea, like their High Mountain Oolong tea. Wow, very, very nice. I think it's better than China's tea, I would say. Like, they have a more unique and, I don't know, the taste is more appealing to me. Coffee is also, they have a lot of local roasters. My friend bought tons of coffee beans from different roasters, spent a lot of money, and okay, I would say the coffee is nice lah, but it's Singapore price too. The tea, I would say, is cheaper for sure, but if you want to get like local roasters coffee, it's going to cost you same as Singapore, and I guess they have unique coffee, so I guess it's worth trying out. So besides that, those of you, I think speaking about snacks, right, the most important thing for those who are going there soon, you will probably be interested in getting pineapple cake. I mean, since that's what they are famous for, right? I can't really claim that I tried all brands, but I tried two major brands that is in contention, right? That is people always consider. So the first one is the Jia De. That one is very popular, and there's only one store, and every day there's long queue. Every single day. Monday to Sunday, no matter weekend or weekday, always got queue. And the queue will start very long, early in the morning. So you have to go even earlier to buy things, because a lot of their famous stuff besides the pineapple cake gets snacked up very easily. Like, it gets snacked up almost immediately. So my friend went there to buy something for their parents, and I got my friend to buy one for me to try. So my goal here was to try this and then try the other one, because there's two. One is the Jia De and one is the Sunny Hills. And I tried the Jia De one, right? It's like a small pineapple cake, and it was nice. The casing, the pastry casing, was buttery, very buttery, flaky. The filling is a little jammy. The pineapple wasn't that strong, and I heard that they use winter melon filling with pineapple to mix it up. So not really truly 100% pineapple. Overall, not too bad. And then I tried another one, which is the Sunny Hills one. More modern looking atas. They have several stores throughout the country. They even have it in Singapore and Japan as well, and their service is impeccable, I would say. What they do is that they let you come into their stores and they let you sit down to try pineapple cake for free. They give you one pineapple cake and they brew their own oolong tea, and then you get to try it first before you buy. And I have to say, their cake is much better. I think their whole selling point is not just that good service and everything. Their selling point is also, like, I think organic, using local ingredients and real ingredients. So what happened there was that the cake, right, they have real pineapple filling. So when you bite into it, you can see the fillings, right, have the pineapple fruit fibers there. So you can, when you eat it, you can taste the pineapple. It's stronger pineapple taste. But the outer cake is not as I would say flaky and buttery as the Jia De one. Of course, I mean, it's still a pastry, so there's a slight butter taste. In the end, I think I really prefer this more. You really taste the pineapple, the inner filling. I would prefer like a more buttery, flaky one. It's a mess, so I'm not really a fan of that. Maybe once in a while. I would say at the end of the day, right, they are very comparable. And it really boils down to subjective taste. In the end, I just went for Sunny Hills because of the pineapple taste. The lack of queue. I think they have one store in Taipei, and they have two other stores in the rest of Taiwan, and even in airport they also have it. And their stores are always, I mean, there's people there, but there's no queue at all. So that is great. And the service is great, you get to try for free. It is relatively more expensive, but it has more volume in terms of the contents of the pastry. And they have other flavors too. There's an interesting one that I bought back, which is the apple filling. They use like Japan Aomori apples. That is pretty good too. So I bought apple filling and pineapple filling. Yeah, so the next one is, okay, last thing about food. Okay, I think I need to say, I have like a list of bullet points I wrote down that I will slowly walk finish. I know that, you know, the trip, usually people want to hear what you want to hear what you did, right? Of course, for me, I think right, my main goal just is to go there and eat their food only and not to do anything. Okay, my friend, I think one of our main leaders, right, he was the one who planned the trip also, and he had a lot of inputs, and there was a lot of walking and going different places and visiting, sightseeing. At the end of the day, it did not really stuck out to me. I think it was more of the food that really stuck out to me. And yeah, so okay, the last thing, right, is the milk tea. The milk tea is still as good as ever 6 years ago. Very milky, fragrant, and it's amazing, man, to be able to drink that every day. I'm fortunate. And 7-Eleven, even 7-Eleven also have great milk tea. If for those of you who are going there, you would see that there are milk tea in small like Tetra Pak cartons, that kind, like the HL milk kind of carton, cardboard carton. And there's one that is called there's a red color box one, and the in front they have a Chinese word called long, which is Chinese, the meaning in English is strong, and that's the best. It's like damn milky. They have even a milkier one, 60% more milky. I don't know, I think they put whipped cream inside really. And the coffee is not too bad too. I think what I really like about this whole Taiwan thing is that, like, there's so much food, so much variety. Singapore is like, I mean, yes, variety, maybe it's just interesting, like grass is green on the other side, right? And that is all I care about. Scenery, I don't really care. I don't take that much pictures, take some pictures here and there. I just wanted to try all the food, man. So that's for Taichung. Oh my god. I think I even do this for quite a while already, and I'm guessing out. But for you guys, I'm gonna continue for you guys. So this is end of Taichung. So we have like 4 to 5 days left in Taipei, and there's three things that we did that is notable. Let me drink one more sip of water. So what we did at Taipei, right? The first thing that was very notable is the clubbing. I mean, a bunch of single guys, ratchet guys, they, of course, they want to go clubbing and they want to see how clubbing is like in Taiwan. And it was also my first experience going to a real club. I think previously I didn't really go to a club. Like I got mentioned before in previous episodes, my first experience, kind of like drinking experience, I went to a Siamtiu. It was like, who first go to Siamtiu? Yeah, I'm assuming like you go to club first, right? And I never get a chance to go to club until now. And I don't get the whole logic of like, how do you get girls in club? We had like, we got a table, so that was nice. Apparently getting a table there is very affordable. Singapore 1k, 2k spending, buy several bottles and can get a table. And tables might be limited, you might not even get a table. There, clubs are bigger, there's more tables there, and we only need to spend about, I would say, 2k 500. Okay, I forgot how much is there already. So everybody at the end of the day just need to pay about $100 plus just to get a table. So 5% went. So $500 for a table, and that's like, what a deal, man. What a freaking deal just to get a table. And experiencing your first club on a table, kind of realize, right, that, wow, shit. Everybody that is standing in front of you, and they demarcate, they block out the table areas and the peasant area, you know? And you feel like, wow, shit, I feel like a king, man. And I'm not going to stand among the commoners. It's a very different experience being able to sit down and not stand and like just hang out with your friends. Unfortunately, there isn't much hangout also. I mean, our friend brought some girls back, and then on the table, then we talk. It's so loud that I can't even hear what they say. And how do I even, like, I don't know, take care of them or just get to know them at all? And I realize, you know, how people get girls in club is the environment has to be super dark. Okay, first thing first, you have to be very attractive. then you need to know how to sweet talk them in minimal words, or when it's quiet, then you can faster talk to them. Unless it's otherwise it's too difficult really. And at the end of the day, it's just your looks. You have to be good looking. She has to be good looking. Okay, then you guys can kind of just make out whatever it is, because just based on looks, right? I don't know how much talking you can do in that kind of environment. And that was the case. I see my friend, I think one guy just managed to like make out with someone, and there wasn't really much to talk about, I think, at the end of the day. And if you are not so attractive, then good luck. Maybe they need to turn down the lights and make it even darker. And that was it. I thought I was able to meet new people there. Unfortunately, I didn't. Like, I added someone on Instagram and I tried to talk to her. She couldn't hear a thing. I was just like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to take my drink, go somewhere in the corner, and then people watch. Kind of sad, right? But I mean, people watching is pretty fun too. So that's the clubbing experience. And the next one was the Mala Hot Pot. Oh, damn. It's the food again. Mala Hot Pot. It's time to try the Mala Hot Pot that I really wanted, that I really enjoyed 6 years ago. And it tasted still as good as 6 years ago, man. And I would say it's a better value than Hai Di Lao. So what my friend and I kind of agreed upon is that Hai Di Lao soup is way, way better. However, it's expensive. Whereas here, right, the Mala Hot Pot is free flow. The soup not that great, so you have to put a lot of ingredients to make it taste good. But this Mala Hot Pot has good value because we have free flow beef, pork and everything. Not like Seoul Garden kind of beef and pork. They actually slice it into pieces and you can see marbling there. Good quality meat. Free drinks, free beer, free iced Milo, free tea, free Coke, free whatever you want. Whatever drinks you can conceive of. Then free ice cream as well. They have all, how many flavors are there? They have like 4 cabinets of Haagen-Dazs with 4 different flavors. 16 flavors, Mövenpick. Got 2 cases of 4 flavors. So I tried literally everything. I really tried everything. And I took a picture. 5 bowls of ice cream. I just scooped everything to just try everything out. And I think I tried, okay, let me try and recall which one I tried. I tried Belgian chocolate, blueberry, raspberry sorbet, mango sorbet, matcha, mint chocolate chip, coffee, and I think strawberry as well. So out of all, right, I think Haagen-Dazs, Mövenpick, I don't know, there's something wrong with their ice cream. They get so hard that it's too difficult to scoop, and it's not like amazing, I would say. So Haagen-Dazs, right, the best one was Belgian chocolate with almonds. Wow, I really like it. It's like the chocolate, right, is dark chocolate, so it has a tinge of bitterness and sweetness. So for those of you who like very strong chocolate taste, that is perfect. And you have like almonds in between, that makes it very nice. And then matcha is nice as well, as good as ever. And then chocolate is not too bad too. Chocolate is not like your regular kind of $1 ice cream uncle kind of chocolate, or you go NTUC buy the cheapest chocolate. This chocolate, Haagen-Dazs chocolate, is actually tastes like chocolate. It's strong and it's nice. Aside from that, the sorbet is not too bad. The sorbet is like very thick and refreshing, which is nice too. So overall, I had a very good time. Blueberry sucks, I would say. I hate blueberry. So overall, I really enjoyed it. Mala Hot Pot, very good. They also have, okay, another thing that is very nice also, besides the free flow meat, they have instant noodles as well, and they have tons of instant noodles you can get. They have the Chinese instant noodles, where it's like a hand put noodles, but they have it in the instant dried out form. They have normal instant noodle, they have Korean instant noodle, like the non-gym ramen kind of instant noodle, thick and chewy. They have the vegetables instant noodles, vegetable flavored instant noodles. They have Thailand instant noodle, the mama instant noodle. Dang, everything you want is there. So that's amazing. For how much? 30 plus, 30, 32 or 35 Sing dollars. God damn it, man. $32 to $35. What a deal. And it's everywhere. Because it's so popular, right? It's everywhere in Taipei. And it's great. Even the local Taiwanese eat it. So our driver, right, who drove us to this place called Jiufen Sifen, told us that, okay, even locals eat it. He told us, like, what locals don't eat, what locals eat. So, like, apparently the mian xian, locals don't really eat it, but the mala hot pot, they got eat. So besides the mala hot pot, another notable one was the Jiufen Sifen. Oh. So we went to this mountain area near, on the outskirts of Ximending, Taipei area. And that is a place where you set the lantern up. We didn't really do the lantern. I don't know. It wasn't, I mean, it's alright. It looks cool, but it's more cool when you take pictures of other people setting the lantern. They write all your wishes and everything. So it's a place where it's mountain. You just walk around. Then you see all these shops alongside of, like, on a slope of a mountain. Then people usually drink tea there. But they really charge you like a bomb because, I mean, they have a good mountain view. And then everywhere is tea shop. I don't know how they survive because every single place is tea shop. Like, how do you, and the tea they sell is the same also. So it's just the same thing everywhere. I would say the best part about it was more of the mountain view. You just keep climbing, then you see all these very rustic stores. And it was great to get a driver. Last time we took public transport as a poly student, and it was bad, man. We spent like 2 hours to get there. With a private driver, we took 1 hour to get there, and we get to visit two places, the Jiufen and the Sifen. But when we took the public transport, we only went to one place, which is the Jiufen place, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, or we managed to went to two. I think, okay, I remember we went to two. That's why it took 2 hours. But with the driver, it's shorter. And the public transport drivers is very reckless, I would say. We took the public bus upstairs like last time, and the bus, right, like Fast and Furious one, eh? Just drift, go up, like it's like going to Genting, literally like going to Genting. Then the guy just don't care, just drive like crazy. So you keep on swerving, and it feels like you're almost gonna topple out of the mountain like that. And for those of you who have like motion sickness, you will get sick lah. Whereas this driver was very good. He very conscious, then he slowly drive. Not slowly drive, he drive at a good speed, and he doesn't jam brake, and he doesn't speed increase or decrease, that kind of. Yeah, so he's a good driver because I sat in front and I don't feel motion sickness at all, which is kudos to him. So the Jiufen Sifen, it was more sightseeing. Of course, they have very good, not very good food. They have an interesting food there. I think one of the famous one was the chicken wrap rice. That one was alright. A lot of people order. A lot of Koreans were there, and then they got that. And then my friends tried. They say the fried rice was like tasteless. The chicken wing was alright. What was amazing there was this chicken thigh sausage. So what they do is they wrap all this chicken thigh, right, chicken thigh meat into a sausage casing, and I don't see it anywhere. No, it's not in night market. It's not even popular in Jiufen or Sifen. No, just this store. That is like they say, or they have been established 10 years ago or whatever, selling this sausage. And I was like, hey, damn, it looks good. Then I tried it. I was like, fuck, that was the best food I ever tasted the entire trip. It really is. Because it's all chicken thigh meat wrapped in a tiny sausage casing, right? It's like bursting with flavor. It's juicy as hell. They marinated it so well. And then you add the pepper salt. And what happened was that I got one for $2 sing, and then I like it so much I went back to have two more, and it's like I had six in total. It was like, oh my god, fuck. Thinking about it, it was freaking nice, man. And it's so salty. It's not that kind of sweet and salty nonsense that they have in Taiwan sausage. It was just pure salty juiciness, well marinated meat. I think it was like 鸡腿卷, that's what they call it in Chinese. And I only saw it in Jiufen, Sifen, and was like, ah, that's unfortunate. One store sold it. It was really nice. It was near the public transport area where the train was coming down. And it was near the chicken wing area also. So that was, if for those of you who are interested, can go and find it. Yeah. So overall, these are the notable things I did. I think there's more that I can talk about, but I'm guessing already it's 50 minutes, man. And at this point, I'm just rambling nonstop and incoherent, I would say. So I will continue talking about it next week. I will record some of the episodes like tomorrow during public holiday, and we can talk more, right? So I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you are interested in supporting the podcast, feel free to visit my Patreon page at patreon.com/chillaxpodcast. And I will see you guys next time.